This is Psalm 24. Listen as I read God's Word. A Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Psalm 24 is the last of several psalms, beginning in Psalm 20, that have to do with a similar theme. That is that God is also our King. The psalm starts by telling how great our God is. He is the Creator God, the one who has made all things. The earth is the Lord, and everything in it belongs to Him. It then asks a very important question in verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? That question is a very pertinent question, and it reveals certain things about this psalm that it's helpful for you to understand it. The first thing is that it uses language of the Old Testament to describe those people who are going to Jerusalem to worship. They would literally go up the lay of the land to where Jerusalem is at the top of the hill. So it talks about going up. And the place of worship was also located on Mount Zion. The tent of the tabernacle for a time was there. And later the temple was located there. And it brings out a very interesting feature of this psalm. If you go down to verse 7, there's almost a reenactment of the people that would go to Jerusalem to worship. There would be the groups that are traveling there who would call out to the city. And they would say, "Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory is coming." In other words, open the gates. The King is coming. And then there would be a reply from those in Jerusalem. Who is the King of glory? And then the response would come, "The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle." And it would happen again. Open the gates. Lift up your heads, O doors. The King of glory is coming. And once more the question, who is this King of glory? And the reply once more, the Lord, mighty in battle, is coming. Open up the gates for the King of glory to enter in. Now that will be very important for you to understand as we go back now to verse 3 to answer the question, who may stand in God's holy place? The answer comes in the verses that follow. The answer is summarized as he who is righteous. David uses physical terms to represent that truth. He says, he whose hands are clean and whose heart is pure, who hasn't lifted up his heart to idols nor sworn deceitfully with his lips. He uses physical terms to represent a spiritual truth. You know that your salvation isn't dependent upon how clean your hands are. All the little boys and girls of the church, I hope you're reassured by that, because I know that it's hard to keep your hands physically clean, right? But it's representative of a spiritual truth, isn't it? That our hands are not involved in wickedness. And our heart is not involved in evil deeds or thoughts. We don't use our lips to do evil things. So the answer has to do with coming to worship the Lord. His answer has two important implications about it. The first is that David is saying that those who belong to the Lord, that by faith are resting in a Savior, their lives are going to show that. And they're shown in hands that aren't given to wickedness, in hearts that aren't worshiping idols, and lips that aren't lying or swearing falsely. It's descriptive of those that are claimed by Jesus Christ and whose lives are transformed. But there's a second and even more important application that comes here, because David teaches that the Lord himself provides salvation through the King of Glory. The question was, who can ascend the hill of God? Who can dwell in God's holy presence? And the answer is the one who is righteous. So just who is that righteous one? Because I know it's not me. And I hope that you would answer the same. You would say, I know it's not me too. Well, it has to be Jesus. And it is. It is Jesus who goes before us to lead us into that place of worship, into the holy place of God. And these verses are descriptive of Jesus. He is the one who is pure and righteous. His hands are clean. His heart is pure. He has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. In the language of Hebrews, you might remember that that New Testament book describes Jesus as being completely free from sin. He had no reason to offer a sacrifice for himself because he was righteous. He obeyed the whole law for us. And so our King of Glory can go into that holy place of God because he himself is righteous. In fact, the verses go on and say he has received a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We know that by his obedience that Jesus earned God's favor. He merited righteousness. And that righteousness is a righteousness he offers to you in salvation. And so he is the King of Glory, the one who is mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts. And the gates of Jerusalem were opened up to him as he came that last weekend into Jerusalem. And he came to the shouts of the people who said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus is this King of Glory who entered Jerusalem. And entered not only Jerusalem, but entered into that most holy place of God by his sacrifice. And he leads us into that presence of a holy God. And we may dwell there with him because Jesus, the King of Glory, has gone before us. And so you and I become the children of Jacob. We become the children of promise, the children of the covenant. By faith in Jesus Christ, we've become heirs of Jesus, a generation of those seeking God's face. The tune that this is set to is one that is glorious. It's one that turns our attention to our King leading us into the presence of God to worship him. So I invite you to turn in your Psalters to the A selection of Psalm 24. And we'll sing this. If you haven't sung this before, I'll point out that it goes across two pages. Stanzas 1 and 2 flow over here to the middle, and you repeat back to stanza 2, and then stanza 3 is over here on the right-hand side of the page. Let's stand and sing Psalm 24, Selection A.